Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, looking ahead to another playoff committee rankings and the weekend that was in college football and a lot of other rumors and news and notes. And we bring in Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com and campusinsiders.com to help us out on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Pete?
You're solid. How you doing?
Good. All right, I want to start with the rumors going around with about Les Miles. Is it a done deal Les Miles is on his way out, or is this just speculation?
It's a lot of rumor and speculation. A lot of it's fueled by internet rumor and fire. But you know what? There's a lot of different parts in play here. There are boosters who are interested in looking for more. But like, here's the problem. They come back loaded next year. They have a number two or three ranked recruiting class, depending on who you want to believe, coming in. They're strong returning. They've got a team that can challenge for big things next year. The other big problem, it's not like Nick Saban's going away. So it's not like Alabama's getting any worse. So unless you can get rid of Saban, I don't know why getting rid of Miles helps right now.
Is it fair, though, this sort of speculation on Les Miles? I mean, he does have a program that's in national contention every single year.
You can't lose. You can't lose at any big-time program now. It is unbelievable at the number of coaches who are on hot seats after any who have been talked about on hot seats this year. I mean, just from Brett Bielema, you know, to Les Miles, to guys who are canned like Al Golden, you know, to right on down the line. You name the coach, and you can say, hey, has this guy lost it? It's insane.
Pete, let's go to Ohio State, where they lose to Michigan State on Saturday, and Ezekiel Elliott's comments. In terms of how you evaluated those, right statement, wrong time, wrong statement, right time, how did you view all that?
Whatever. You know, if you're going to run a professional football franchise like Ohio State does, then, you know, deal with it. You know, just can the ball off to him more so he's going to leave for the NFL. It's not like that's any big shot to anybody. So he's going to take off, and everyone knows that. But you know what? He's probably got a couple games left, and if they win on Saturday and Michigan State loses to Penn State, they might have maybe three more games left after this. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't make him any worse. And just you wanted to run the football more, and hey, that's all right. I think you kind of want that in your back.
Was that a legitimate complaint? Should they have handed the ball off to him more?
Yeah, they blew it 2 years ago, too. Remember in the Big Ten championship game, they were just killing him, and Carlos Hyde was going nuts, and they just stopped handing him the ball. And then Michigan State made the big comeback, had the big fourth quarter, and pulled off and ruined Ohio State's shot to go to the national championship. Well, same thing this time around. I mean, it's, you know, they just stopped giving Ezekiel Elliott the ball. You got the ultimate number, you know, one cut and go home run hitter, and they stopped giving it to him, and he didn't get those chances to do that.
It was kind of a sloppy night, but overall, did you sense this coming from Ohio State, a game like this?
Didn't know. I had no clue. I mean, because they hadn't been playing well all year. I mean, they were just sort of okay, but just got this kind of sense that they were just going through the motions. And all right, once it came time to really start to try, it's like, okay, now we're going to give it a shot. But didn't happen. They just did not show up. And just, you know, I think what happened was also they choked. As soon as they see Connor Cook on the sidelines, you know what? Let's just, you know, play with our defense, play with our running game, and then hope that the special teams comes through with one big play, and there's no way they're going to score enough on us. And they played not to lose, and they lost.
If the committee was being honest, would Alabama be the number one team in the country?
Absolutely, and don't think that they might not be. Take all these rankings with a grain of salt. I mean, just because here's the thing about them. They're just a snapshot right now. Once it's all over, once we get to the championship games and they're all over with, they'll seed everyone correctly, and they'll just kind of think about it. And all remember, TCU last year was number three, and then at the very end, they were number six. They throw all the old rankings out. It's different than the Poland Bowl days. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as you're in, it doesn't matter if you're one or four. It's not like there's a home field advantage to any of this. So all that matters is that you get in.
Pete, as a guy who's kind of really into what's going on in this sport, I feel like this debate comes up every single year, especially when it gets the kind of attention that Nick Saban put on it. It's these cupcake games late in the season. They're good for the smaller school. They're hard to take as a fan. I know it's a balance. Is it okay to have a couple of these games even late in the schedule that's as brutal as the SEC?
Yeah, because they're just playing them at the end instead of the beginning. If they played these games week two, no one would say boo about it. If they took a, if these teams took a week off, no one would say boo about it, because now they're all going to their rivalry games. And yeah, also give them a little bit of a break. I mean, because, you know, look at what the SEC has coming up. I mean, they have, you know, whether it's Alabama versus Auburn, or also, you know, you have the ACC games. You have Georgia playing Georgia Tech, Florida playing Florida State, Louisville and Kentucky playing each other. You know, you have the big games, you know, where the SEC gives it up against you. So they, I'm not going to dog them too much for this. You know, South Carolina, yeah, lost to Citadel, but also has Clemson next week. So just a week, it's fine. Again, if they play this early in the season, no one would say anything.
And I know fans don't like it because it seems like it's just a week off and you're routing a team. But as far as economics go, do these schools, the little schools, need games like this for their athletic?
Oh, yeah. They fund their entire year mostly. I mean, you get $1 million paycheck for one of these games, and all of a sudden you can have a women's field hockey team. It's just, absolutely. It just, that's why they schedule these games, and it makes them a whole bunch of money.
All right. The 1916 win over Boston College, that hurt Notre Dame?
Not really. I think they're number four tomorrow. I think Iowa becomes number one, or number three, I'm sorry. I think one and two is still probably Clemson, Alabama in that order. I think they're okay for now. I think it's an aberration. If they beat Stanford, that's the big game this weekend, because that's the key. The Big 12 really could use Stanford beating Notre Dame just to get that out of the way. Do that, and then I think, you know, the Big 12 is probably in. If Notre Dame wins, all of a sudden it's going to be kind of hard for Oklahoma to make any sort of claim to be in the playoff. Baylor might have a better claim at it, but then, you know, if you're Baylor or if you're Oklahoma, you're rooting hard for Stanford to win.
Pete Futek joins us, collegefootballnews.com, campusinsiders.com. Does Oklahoma crack the top four? You were just touching on that.
Probably not this week. Eventually they would. I think they, at the end of the rainbow, the committee's going to love the whole conference championship factor. But the problem here, though, is that Texas beat Oklahoma and Notre Dame beat Texas. So from a theoretical standpoint, it's going to be hard to do the side-by-side comparison and say that Oklahoma deserves to be in unless the committee wants to really reward that whole Big 12 championship thing.
The coaching vacancies that are currently out there, I would assume USC is the best one available. What would be the second best available one that's out there?
Well, if LSU is available, that's probably the second big one out there. South Carolina is probably a sleeping giant of a program. It's, you know, SEC East, not as many expectations, not as crazy, still a lot of the recruiting advantages. You don't have the history of the program. Any sort of success is good. If you win 10 games, you're okay there, as opposed to LSU, which, you know, you have to win a national championship or bust. But you're right, USC is the best of the bunch. It just, that's the prestige, that's the, you know, LA market, that's the tradition. It is just the best coaching job out there right now.
Is Miami still a good job?
It depends. You know, there are two different sides of this. There are a lot of people who think, yeah, that if you get the right coach in there, you can recruit well. Al Golden recruited well. He just didn't do enough with it. That, you know, with that recruiting ground, you know, there's a lot of coaches who would love that opportunity. Problem, though, there's no fan base. You don't get anybody in the stadium. If you don't win big, then you just don't get any attention down there. And the other problem is you're not doing the same things that made you strong in the first place. There's no Uncle Luke around anymore, Luke Kamley around. There's no Nevin Shapiro. And, you know, there's a lot of the things that they did before they're just not going to do anymore.
Pete, I want to ask you about something that I've seen you write about a couple of times, and that's Chip Kelly returning to college. When you hear somebody say, oh, they should get Chip Kelly, or Chip Kelly should take that job, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, there's so much invested in him. I mean, Philadelphia, with the whole philosophical thought by taking him and letting him do what he's doing right now, it's an entire change to the whole, you know, way of life for the Philadelphia Eagles. And for them to let him go, it's a financial hit, but it's also just, you know, you're starting from scratch at this point. You're saying this didn't work, and it really didn't get enough of a chance to show what it could do. And, you know, they went 10-6 last year. It's not like they were awful. And this year, as much as they struggled from here and, you know, from time to time, they're still right in the thick of a playoff chase in a miserable NFC East. So I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. And even worse, though, for colleges is that the timing wouldn't be right, because he's not going to be let go in the next, like, 2 months. You know, so that's just not going to happen unless something totally implodes.
The committee rankings will come out on Tuesday night. Pete, I always wanted to get your thoughts on this. When the committee comes out and they say, well, we like this or we like that, or when the spokesman comes out and says these things, do they really owe us an explanation, or can they say, here's our teams, that's what we do, goodbye?
They're trying to do a little of both. I do the college football playoff show with Campus Insiders on every Tuesday night. We get to interview Jeff Long, and it's a little bit of both. It's, you know, he's the spokesman for it. It's a little bit of, they come out and say, well, these are our rankings, live with it. But they do give some explanation. I wish that they would be totally transparent about it and, you know, say exactly what they're thinking, because it's a good process. I mean, they go through this. You know, the one thing you do know about this, while I disagree with a lot of what they do, at least it's meticulous. They go through pick by pick by pick. There's no guesswork about it. There's no, let's just throw this team in here. You have to actually argue and come up with each of the 25 slots. And it is a hardcore process that they go through. So at least you know that they're trying with this.
I know in basketball, they've allowed some media members to sort of see the process for the selection committee. Are they planning on doing that, or have they?
We've seen the process. I've gone through the process with them. Okay. I went through it. So it's we're not going to do it live. I mean, they don't let anybody in there. I don't think they're quite at that level yet. But they have had lots of media members come in and just go through the like a test and trial run. So I've got to go down to Grapevine, Texas, and do that. And so you see how it all works. And, you know, but I've never seen it in action with the guys and girl actually in the room doing it.
Pete Futek again, collegefootballnews.com and campusinsiders.com on college football. Those rankings come out on Tuesday. Pete, always great catching up with you, my man. Can't wait to see your cavalcade of whimsy tomorrow.
Have a good one.
You too, my man. Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. Good stuff. And one of the best in the business. Great site. If you're not checking it out, you should be. Check out his stuff there. 800-777-2907, the numbers. We continue to look at college football, kind of anticipating where we're going, because we are into week 13 coming up this weekend. It's the season finale for a lot of teams. It's the way we're wrapping things up, and then there's conference championships and whatnot. But we're getting closer now, so if you're going to make that move, or you're going to make that statement, or you're going to do something big for some of these teams, this is the weekend to do it. 800-777-2907. It is Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.